very happy to welcome and introduce Stanley Littow, who this morning will be speaking about innovation in education, creating a seamless school to college to career pipeline. Stanley Littow is a corporate policy professor, writer, consultant, and social responsibility expert. He is a professor at both Columbia and Duke universities. At Duke University, he also serves as innovator in residence. Stan is the author of The Challenge for Business and Society, From Risk to Reward. He previously served as president of the IBM International Foundation and as deputy chancellor of schools for the city of New York. Before his service at IBM and the New York City Public Schools, he served as president and founder of Interface and as executive director of the New York City Urban Core, operated out of the mayor's office. He has served on many presidential and gubernatorial commissions, in addition to his service on the SUNY Board of Trustees. He also serves on the board of Roosevelt House and the Citizens Budget Commission. Stan helped devise the innovative school to college to career program called PTEC, as well as the IBM Corporate Services Corps, often referenced as the corporate version of the Peace Corps. He has received multiple awards for his community service from organizations such as the Anne Frank Commission, the Martin Luther King Commission, the Center for an Urban Future, as well as the Corning Award from the New York State Business Council. Stan.
Thank you so much, Richard. I really appreciate the opportunity to share information with you this morning. And I love the title of this conference, Visioning a Better America, because I think it connects so much to what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. And I was delighted that you referenced the earlier book that I wrote about the challenge for business and society, From Risk to Reward. And just a couple of months ago, a new book that I wrote called Breaking Barriers basically tells the story of this school to college to career program called PTEC that I had involvement in creating.
It connects
about
so
10
much
years ago.
To what I'm going
so
to
let me
talk
send
about
the clock back 10 years ago. At that point, we were still in the midst of a very serious recession that had affected America.
Good morning.
In a very significant
welcome
kind of way.
To the fourth
and as
day
we looked at the effects of the
visioning a better America.
We saw that it was not
a conference
equal
of citizens.
Some people
originally
were being
planned starting over 3 years
in
ago
ways
to be
much
held
more powerful than others, especially young people of color, especially those who were in particular kinds of zip codes. And what we saw was a crisis that was happening in our country. And what was that crisis? Number one, the jobs that were going away were low-wage jobs that only required a high school diploma or less. The jobs that were increasing and the jobs that had high wages connected to them required some form of post-secondary education. And yet, while we had made strides in getting our high school diploma rates up in most states in the United States, we really did not make progress in getting our college completion rates up, especially for young people of color and especially for low-income Americans. So we saw the jobs being created requiring college, the jobs going away and having low wage requiring only a high school diploma. We saw a difference based upon race and ethnicity about opportunity. And we needed to come up with some kind of a solution that was going to address this serious, serious crisis. Some called it a skills crisis, but I would say it was a America crisis. It was a crisis that we really needed to address. And the solution that we came up with when I was at IBM, but working closely with the government in the city of New York and the City University of New York, was to change the construct of high school in America from grade 9 through 12 to a grade 9 through 14 integrated program where students would begin in grade 9 and complete grade 14 with both a high school diploma and a 2-year community college degree. Now, how would they do that? Number one is that students would have their high school coursework and their college coursework integrated in a scope and sequence of courses and classes together so that the students could actually be prepared by their high school classes to complete their college classes and offer students the opportunity through dual enrollment to begin taking those college classes as early as the summer between 9th and 10th grade so that students could complete at their own pace. And actually some students complete the 6-year program in 4 years, 4.5 years, 5 years, but most within that 6-year time period. So how would students complete? Number one, there would be a business partner for each school, and the business partner would offer mentors for every student. A mentor that would be able to help the student, not just with their homework, but with project-based learning opportunities to be able to connect to the work that they're doing. There would be structured workplace visits so that students would be able to understand why I need to complete my degree, because I can have a career and an opportunity to succeed in the workplace. And the college would be an integrated partner with the high school, working together so that college faculty and high school faculty would ensure that students were not only prepared for college and taking college courses, but actually complete their degrees. So the first school opened its doors in New York City, in Brooklyn, across from one of the most difficult public housing projects in the city, on Albany Avenue in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. And an initial cohort of about 100 students, virtually all of them students of color, and virtually all of them low income, which is another core element of the program. And that is, there would be no screen for admissions. And as some of you, or many of you know, some of the best schools screen the students who are going to have the opportunity to attend those schools, either through a test or an examination of their grades, so that students who are not doing well in grade 8 would not be permitted and given the opportunity to attend some of the best schools. But the PTEC program would have open enrollment so that the students would not have a screen for admission. So the students who began the program, the largest percentage of them were more than 2 years behind in grade 8. They began this program, and what happened at the end of the 6-year period is that about 60% of the students completed their high school diploma and their community college degree, and a large percentage of them were offered jobs at the partnering company, in the instance of the first school, IBM, with starting wages north of $50,000 a year. But the largest percentage of students got their 2-year degree and went on and got their 4-year degree from public higher education systems like the State University of New York, where I am a trustee, and the City University of New York, which was the public higher education system in the city. But there are lots of examples of innovative schools. This was one of them, with high success rates. But one of the things that we know is that a single school that is successful doesn't necessarily lead to a scale-up or sustainability of that reform. So we have, in virtually every city in the United States, you could have an example of a high-performing school. And then why isn't it spread across? Why aren't the core components of that spread across larger numbers of schools? because there's resistance to embracing innovation. And there's also things that may have been built into the innovative design that will prevent it from being spread across other schools. One of the most important barriers to taking an innovation to scale is not involving the key stakeholders that are critically important in education, in the development and the design of an innovation. So why are charter schools so divisive these days? Because in many ways, the people who are most embedded in our public higher education systems, teachers, parents, are not engaged and involved in the development of the innovation. So being left out, they are opposition to spreading that across the system. So the PTEC design was not just an innovative design of a school, but it was a way to say, if you're going to bring this to scale, don't leave out the key stakeholders in the development of it. So that's why the head of the American Federation of Teachers wrote the foreword to this book, Randy Weingarten, because the teachers union has been part of it. Teachers have been part of it from day one. The principals union, Ernie Logan, the head of the principals union, also very strongly supportive of this design. So if teachers and principals are built in to the design of the program and they're advocates for it, then it is not going to be a barrier to advancing it. Just like that, an open enrollment could be a barrier. Why? Because people will say, oh, of course the school is successful because you screen the students to be admitted. But taking down that barrier and saying it's open opportunity for all students makes it have less barriers to advance it across a variety of schools. And then when business was involved, business should be a collaborator and partner, but business doesn't know what the most effective curriculum is. That's something that educators need to do. So business needs to be part and parcel of the development of the idea, but not an entity that's going to control how it's developed. And they have to play an appropriate supportive role, but not get in the way of educators in delivering high quality instruction. And then philanthropy should not be a barrier. And how does philanthropy become a barrier? Well, there's an idea that, well, maybe you could raise money and you could spend more money and you could do things that students need. But if you make the initiative totally dependent upon excess capital, you're going to create a barrier because people will say, well, of course it was successful because you spent a lot more money. So what is it that leads to bringing a reform like PTEC to scale? Have the key stakeholders engaged and involved? Don't have a screen for admissions? Don't just spend more money? Don't get waivers of regulation or legislative requirements to make it an impediment to bring it to scale? So PTEC school opened in one school, but then quickly it began to spread across New York City, across New York State, across Illinois, across Connecticut, across Maryland, to the point where now, 10 years later, there are 266 of these schools across 28 countries, 13 states, serving well over 100,000 young people, with results that are significantly better than the results that low-income students and students of color are experiencing in all of our schools. So what is the result? The result is that college completion rates are 400% higher than the national average. So the goal was to provide college completion for young people and to provide an opportunity for career advancement so that their degrees would be connected to high-wage career and high-wage career opportunities. Yes, it was successful. And as it spread around the United States and around the world, over 600 companies became collaborators and partners with PTEC schools. And the success went beyond urban areas like New York City or Chicago, which had schools, but into distressed non-urban areas like Newburgh, New York, a community where they had high crime rates and high drug rates and were even the subject matter of a documentary on public television. And we see that that school accounts for 2/3 of the cybersecurity graduates with associate's degrees from their partner school, State University of New York in Orange. So this is an opportunity that goes beyond urban areas. Actually, there are successful PTEC schools in rural areas as well. And not all of the collaborators and partners are large companies. In many cases, they're small, mid-sized companies. The community college partners and collaborators are not just in information technology, but they're in healthcare, in a variety of other areas. So this is an opportunity to think about how we can vision a better America. We can vision a better America by creating a model that is going to significantly increase our college completion rates for low-income students, give them an opportunity to succeed in a way that all students should be able to succeed, and make sure that they enter the workplace with a post-secondary degree. Now, why is that significant and important? Because over a lifetime, the earning of somebody with a post-secondary degree is going to be 84% higher than somebody who goes into the workplace just with a high school diploma. And what does that mean? That means added tax revenue. That means lower spending on a social safety net. That means economic value to all of us by providing this opportunity for young people. Now, one of the things I thought was important, and I included in this book, Breaking Barriers, is we can understand this from the data and the information that I'm presenting. But what about the individual stories of individual students? So I use the story of Shudan Brown, a young woman who went to the Brooklyn PTEC school when it first opened, and she completed her high school degree and her community college degree in less than 6 years, went on and got her bachelor's degree, went on and got her master's degree, has a high-wage job at the company IBM, and is now pursuing her PhD in computer science. Now, everything about what Shudan looked like or was when she began this school would have dictated nothing about the success that she experienced. What were the things that allowed her to succeed in this way? It was a culture in the building that every student will succeed. It was the support of a mentor. It was the support of paid internships to be able to see the practical implication of the learning that she was getting, not just the high academic curriculum, but workplace skills like problem solving, writing skills, presentation skills that became valuable to her as she moved from her high school degree to her college degree, to her graduate degree, to her career opportunity. Shudan is an example, but not the only example. And then there's Joel Duran, a young man also in the PTEC school, doing poorly at the end of his junior year with a grade point average on his high school, on his college courses below 2.0. But given the right support, he began to turn things around in his senior year and graduated again with his two-year degree from community college with a grade point average of 2.8, got his bachelor's degree, went to work for IBM, and is now been poached by another company, Microsoft, for a higher wage job and moving on in his career. Now, when somebody was not doing well, in some instances, they were denied opportunity. But Joel was not denied opportunity. He was given the opportunity and he was given the support to be able to achieve. Jose, a young man at the P-TECH school in Colorado, in Longmont, Colorado, St. Vrain School District, arrived in Colorado at age 9, not speaking a word of English, from Mexico. Again, doing poorly in grade 8. And he completes his high school degree and his community college degree in 4 years, not 6, and just got a full scholarship to Harvard. So is this your mother or grandmother's VOC-ED, vocational education program? Or is this an opportunity where the student is put in the driver's seat? Oscar Tandila, another young man, an immigrant student, more than 2 years behind in grade 8. And doesn't believe he could even complete high school. And given the opportunity of participation in the P-TECH program, even though doing poorly in grade 8, begins to do so well that he completes the 6-year program in 3.5 years, gets a full scholarship to Cornell, and just completed his bachelor's degree. And what does Oscar want to do career-wise? He wants to be an education reformer, and he wants to take the examples of the P-TECH example of success, and he wants to bring it to more students like him across schools in Colorado and in New York and in Connecticut. Now, in Texas, a red state with a conservative leadership in their school system and in their government, now has almost 100 P-TECH schools across the state of Texas. In one city, the city of Dallas, there are 18 P-TECH schools with an enrollment of 9,000 students. 1,000 of them just this year graduated with their high school degree and their community college degree. There's a P-TECH school embedded in every comprehensive high school in the city of Dallas. Now, as we're looking at this initiative, which has gone from one school to dozens of schools and now hundreds of schools over more than a dozen states and 28 different countries. Is that enough? Is that enough to vision a better America? Is that enough? No, it's not, because we are now in the midst of a crisis that makes the recession of 10 years ago when P-TECH was created look pale by comparison, because COVID is doing things that make the imperative for an initiative like P-TECH even more important now than it was before. And why is that? Because COVID has created a college enrollment crisis in America. What happened in the first year of the pandemic is that college enrollment for low-income youth across the United States went down by 30%. The largest one-year decline in college enrollment that we have ever experienced. Why was that the case? Because schools being shut down, high school seniors who were middle income or upper income, yes, applied to college, but low income and students of color denied access to guidance counselors, teachers, principals, and in-person instruction, simply did not apply to college. And those young people without the post-secondary degree are going to face a dim economic future and a dim career future. And we got to turn this thing around. So the imperative about P-TECH that was so important 10 years ago when the first doors opened to that first P-TECH school is now more important than ever. And now that our schools are open and young people have an opportunity for in-person instruction one more time, we now have to think, what will we be doing differently that will allow students to succeed? Now, one of the things that happened in the P-TECH schools is because many of those students had mentor support and many of those students had technology support, they were able to maintain their instruction through remote instruction when some students who were not in class were not able to do that. And without the supports, they are falling and fell far, far behind. So the P-TECH model, integrating high school and community college, with career support is a model that is perhaps more imperative now than ever before. Because if students were given this opportunity, not just in 13 states, but perhaps 50 states, and not just having 200 or 60 schools, but thousands of schools following this model, we could perhaps achieve college completion in rates that really connect directly to what has changed in our economy and where the economic opportunity exists for larger and larger numbers of young people. One of the things that we know about our higher education systems and our K to 12 systems is that they are very discriminatory, not intentionally, but we're giving less opportunity for young people of color. And this is an opportunity to correct that. Now, there are other things. PTEC will not solve every problem. It is a grade 9 through 14 school. So it doesn't talk about the challenges that we have in elementary and middle school education to recruit more teachers of color, to provide more opportunities to bring in administrators of color and bring down the barrier between opportunity for some and opportunity for all. That's what visioning a better America would be about. And now we are in a particularly difficult time, but we have some unique opportunities. One of the things that resulted from COVID was a stimulus package where, through federal funding, school districts got additional resources and states got additional resources. And now the question is, how will they spend those resources? Is this an opportunity to rethink not just, you know, opening up the doors to schools and doing it the same way we were doing it in the past, but think about these kinds of innovative models like a PTEC that would provide and create opportunity for more young people and spend those resources in different kinds of ways to provide this opportunity for all. Now, in the reconciliation package, perhaps we're going to bring down the cost of higher education. Now, every student in a PTEC school gets free tuition for the college courses that they're taking because they take those college courses on the high school register. But maybe providing that opportunity for all students in an economic way, making college more affordable, in addition to spurring college completion by making more students college ready, would be an attractive way to spend our economic resources through stimulus and through reconciliation in an effective way. But one of the things I think that PTEC represents that's important is bringing down the silos between school, college, and career. What we want is a seamless opportunity for young people. So your school experience, your high school experience, needs to be connected to your college opportunity and college experience. Why is that? Because one of the things that we have found out is that a large number of young people who complete with a high school diploma go to college, but they're not college ready. And they wind up taking expensive and not very productive remedial education courses that wind up costing billions of dollars and don't necessarily prepare young people for credit-bearing courses. The PTEC design doesn't provide remedial courses, it provides credit-bearing courses. So students who are taking their college courses are not taking non-credit-bearing, expensive remedial education. They're taking credit-bearing courses and getting it to an actual degree. So the cost savings on remediation, the cost generation of additional tax revenue, because young people are earning higher wages in real career opportunity, demonstrates real opportunity for young people. Now, we've gone through periods of time before when we have needed innovation We ended the Second World War and we began to make high school mandatory. As many of you know, there was a time in the United States when eighth grade education was the only thing that was mandatory. We made that change coming out of the Second World War, and arguably it fueled economic growth in our country. And now here we are in a individual and collective crisis, similar to coming out of a Second World War. And we need to get larger and larger numbers of young people a post-secondary degree. We need to make those degrees much more connected to career opportunity. We don't need to make the community college degree an end into of itself. We need to make it a pathway to a more, to a much brighter future. And I think that the PTEC opportunity is an opportunity to bring this innovation to scale and take it to the next level. What are the lessons from this PTEC example? Number one is innovative schooling is always possible, but don't think about it as an end with one building. Think about the example of one school as an example that must go to scale, and what are the innovative lessons that can be incorporated as you take that opportunity to scale. Some would have suggested when the first school opened, wait 6 years before you innovate and bring that innovation to others in other geographies. But when we look at the innovation in America, larger numbers of innovation when they began beget broader innovation from day one. Don't wait until the end. So spread it more aggressively across states and localities. Take down the barrier to growth, the barrier of leaving certain key stakeholders out. Make sure that those who will be valuable in spreading it, teachers, principals, parents, community-based organizations, civil rights organizations, take down the barriers to get people working collectively together so that they can bring this innovation to larger and larger numbers of young people over time. And think about the role of the private sector here. Now, economic growth is going to depend on solving the skills crisis. And businesses are just as invested and need to be just as invested in student success as those of us in the education arena. So they need to be collaborators. What we've seen is large numbers of businesses signing pledges and saying that they don't only care about their shareholders, they care about their employees, they care about community. This is an opportunity to demonstrate that real care by collaborating and partnering in an effective way. Now, the PTEC example and the PTEC initiative actually has already led not just to scale up for a variety of different schools, but it became an incentive that led to the federal legislation, the Perkins Act, being changed. That's $1 billion worth of federal funding that is provided for vocational programs and other occupational areas. And when the legislation was reauthorized a little over a year ago, it was modeled after the design of PTEC. So it said it shouldn't be only a high school diploma. It should be connected to career opportunity and advancement by connecting it to a post-secondary degree. There should be experiential education like paid internships and project-based learning opportunities integrated into the program. There should be a connection to labor market data so that we're preparing young people for the higher growth opportunities. Now, that $1 billion under the Perkins Act, this is an opportunity to think about ramping that up significantly and spending significantly larger amounts of money. It's also an opportunity to think about things like college work study. Back in the 1960s, when Lyndon Johnson was president of the United States. The federal college work study program began so that young people who needed to pay more resources for their tuition could have a federally sponsored and endorsed college work study experience. And now, you know, decades and decades later, we're spending only about $1 billion on federal college work study, and the wages in those jobs are really at very, very low rates, $7.70 an hour on average. So that can be increased, and the opportunity can be provided to young people taking their college courses while still on the high school register, providing incentives for more paid internships and an opportunity for more high school students to get the kind of work experience connected to their education that will be helpful for them to take their work to the next step. So I think we're at a particularly significant juncture in our American history. And now we have an opportunity not just to vision a better America, but take the vision of innovations like this program, PTEC, and not just bring it to scale, but to make it PTEC 2.0, make it a movement that is going to significantly increase the future opportunities for larger and larger numbers of students. Successful schools in Newburgh, New York, Norwalk, Connecticut, Longmont, Colorado, Dallas, Texas, Austin, Texas, Baltimore, Maryland. What they demonstrate is that in communities that are all across the country, some of them urban, some of them suburban, some of them high need, some of them rural, all can embrace an opportunity so that larger and larger numbers of young people can achieve at higher and higher levels. What will it take? In a word, leadership. It will take leadership at the district level. Superintendents like Superintendent Hinojosa in Dallas, Superintendent Haddad in St. Vrain's in Colorado that have spread this initiative through their leadership. That behavior needs to be modeled at the district level across the United States. Governors in Democratic states like Colorado, in Republican states like Maryland, Governor Hogan, big supporter of this program. We need to get governors to embrace this kind of leadership. We need to get businesses. It started with a company, IBM, back 10 years ago, and now 600 other companies. Look at the companies that are engaged and involved. Tesla, Corning, Global Foundries, Thomson Reuters. Thomson Reuters, a partner in one of the schools in Dallas, had 28 students in their senior year that were offered remote paid internships. And they wound up providing job offers to 23 of the 28 students who graduated with their high school degree and their community college degree at graduation time last June. So many, many more businesses will provide opportunities if they're given an opportunity to interact with young people who have the preparation and skills to be exemplary on the job. Because this is like an apprenticeship 2.0. You're seeing the students starting in grade 9. You're watching the students develop and their work experience and their education experience, their maturity, developing. And this isn't about teaching a narrow set of workplace skills. This is about the broader workplace skills that will be important. So the leadership at the district level, the leadership at the state level, the leadership at the CEO level, and the strong political leadership at the national level. When the initial PTEC school opened and was exhibiting success, the President of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, featured it in his State of the Union address in 2013, and then came and visited the school, walked into the math class, and saw algebra being taught in the context of problem-solving skills and a way to use math as a way of solving problems and beginning the kind of career growth that would be important to students. And when he got up in front of all the students in the school, he said, "This is an opportunity that should be provided to every student in the United States." That leadership by the President of the United States led to a variety of governors wanting to embrace this effort. About 3 months ago, the President of France, President Macron, said almost virtually the same thing that President Obama said. He said, because of the success of PTECH in France, this is an opportunity that should be provided to all students in France. So heads of state, whether in France, Singapore, Japan, Morocco, Australia, are getting behind this kind of an initiative. So we have an opportunity now to stimulate that leadership across the United States. We have a president of the United States, President Biden, who wants to take down the cost barriers for higher education by making community college accessible. But in addition to taking down the cost barrier, let's take down the college readiness barrier. Let's take down the college completion barrier. Let's take down the barrier to career advancement. And let's do it in a way that provides opportunity for all American young people by learning the lesson of this innovation of PTECH. Make sure that all the key stakeholders are engaged and involved as you develop this initiative. Make sure that the opportunity is not provided for some. Take down the barrier for admission by making these schools open enrollment, and an opportunity to take down the silo between school, college, and career, and provide this integrated opportunity, a pathway from school to college to career. So 10 years down from when the first door opened on Albany Avenue in Brooklyn, now we have an opportunity to take a look at this advance, this innovation, this PTECH example, and say, can we do what President Obama said he wanted to do, but providing this opportunity for all? There is nothing standing in the way of doing that. We have the resources to do it. The package that was put together in the stimulus, what will be passed in reconciliation, the path to be able to have everyone on the same page in providing opportunity for all, not just for some, and actually providing a vision for a better American future for all. So I was delighted to be able to write this book. I was delighted that the president of the teachers union wrote the foreword to the book. I was delighted that Rashid Davis, the principal of the first PTECH school, wrote the afterword to the book. And with my co-author, Tina Kelly, a former reporter for the New York Times, to tell this story in an exemplary fashion. Now the challenge is to all of us. Do we want to vision a better future for all America? I think we do. I think we must. I think that this is the time that this opportunity needs to be presented to all. So I'm delighted that you gave me an opportunity to talk with you this morning about visioning a better future for America. And I'd like to take questions from anyone at this point, Richard. If anyone has questions, I'd like to use the rest of my time to answer those questions and help realize this vision for a better future for America. Thank you so much.